Are your thoughts important to your well-being? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from John McTernan, who had a rampant bad thought problem that started to torment him.
I can totally relate to that, honestly, because I went through a lot of depression and anxiety and fear. And I think that when we're going through those types of things, thoughts come so fast that it's hard to even focus or think straight. And I used to think that I'm just the product of this and it was uncontrollable. And I felt, you know, out of control.
Right. Yeah. I mean, bad thoughts can be like that. And I think oftentimes, we feel like if we're having bad thoughts all the time, we feel like it's coming from us. Mm-hmm. And like we feel afraid to share it with anybody else. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, I don't want to share what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm thinking that. Where is this coming from? Is that me? Is that really who I am? And I think it really, truly, when one gets alone, it kind of terrifies them. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I think it does, because if you've ever been somewhere, like you've gone to a store or you've driven and you've had a wrong thought, like someone cuts you off, or you're in the store and something happens and you have a bad thought, an impulsive thought. I know I've done that before, and I've talked to friends who say, where did that come from? That was left field for them. Yeah. We've talked about how we've shared how, have you ever had this like thought of just like, you know, whatever it is, cutting someone off or being mean to someone.
And you get mad. And you get mad. Pretty bad thoughts of doing something
bad. Yeah. And the thought comes and then it's like, why would I think like that? That is so wrong. That's so messed up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so where do these things come from? Because I remember at times where I really did in my past struggle a lot with pornography and things like that. That caused a lot of interesting thoughts in my mind that I only kept to myself. You know what I mean? And I stopped viewing people as people, and I started viewing people as objects, objects only to please me.
Wow.
And that is, it was a really bad thing.
Yeah.
But where do these things really come from? Well, when you look in the Bible, it says in the Matthew chapter 15, verses 18, it says, for those things which proceed out of the mouth come out from the heart, and they defile a man. 19, it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. You see, these things kind of proceed out of us, but they don't necessarily mean that they are us. Because the Bible also talks about a stranger's voice in John chapter 10, where the stranger's voice is the voice of a stranger, the voice of the devil. And if we're not able to recognize that he is kind of speaking in and through us and can give us wrong thoughts, that can be a problem. We can begin to misidentify who we really are.
And I think where it turns to is that the Bible also talks about us being in a warfare. So sometimes it's our flesh. We have things, we have thoughts, impulses, those sort of things. And it feels like a battle because there's this good part to our lives where we want to do what's right and righteous.
Right.
And we have self-control not to do those things, which is great. But the Bible talks about that we're in a spiritual war. So it's not just a carnal thing. And it says that we need to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means when we get a thought, instead of just taking it in and eating it and saying, oh, this must be what I'm thinking, realize that you have an enemy who's trying to make you think wrong, and you have the power to fight it off and say, no, I'm not thinking like that. That's rubbish. I take that and I give it to you, God, and I put in the truth in my mind and start focusing on whatever's true, noble, praiseworthy, and of a good report. Let's hear from John after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver, or call them at 303-455-3025.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is John McTernan, and he's going to share with us how he went from an atheist to a Christian. So let's welcome John to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I understand when you were a young boy, you went to church, Catholic church, with your grandparents, but something happened and things changed. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, what happened was there was no reality to me going to church. I went simply because I was living with my grandparents, and they went to church, so I went with them. And when they got older and couldn't go anymore, I just stopped going, and that was the end of any activity involving God. My mind was completely blank, like, of anything to do with God.
Wow. Mm. So that took you on a journey, and unbeknownst to you, you were seeking the truth, but you didn't realize it at that time. And here you were starting to look into different things. Tell me about the things you started to study or look into.
Well, I went to college, and in college, I was taught evolution. And I looked around. I remember one day walking out of school after a biology class. I looked around, and I said, I don't see evolution anywhere. I said, nowhere. I said, I see everything complete. I don't see any partial eyes or some type of an animal, partially another one and all of that. And I said, nah, I don't believe in evolution. And then I went to English. And the English teaching back then were the existentialists. And I won't even go into that. But I remember thinking, if I believed this, I would commit suicide. It was so depressing.
Wow.
And then I'd listen to these poets, the classic poets that they would teach you. And I said, there's something wrong with this. In fact, it kind of made me inside, like, depressed. I felt it. I felt being exposed to school depressing. There was a professor that was teaching logic, and it was raining outside, and he was proving it wasn't raining. And this was a course that I didn't need to take. It was an elective. So after the class was over, I walked up to him, and I said, Professor, all I have to do is open the window up and stick my hand out, and that blows your logic. I said, I'm not impressed by it. In fact, I'm dropping the class.
Wow.
So there was a whole bunch of things like that. And I had roommates. And it turns out one of them was a believer. And he would talk to me about the Bible. And I found it very interesting. In fact, I began to seek him out a little about the Bible. He only went one semester. And I think he got married and dropped out. And I didn't see him again. But he was the only one, or the first one, I should say, that talked to me about the Bible and began to share some of the things that were in it. I was not hostile to the Bible. I didn't have a anger in me like many atheists do. I just didn't have any belief. That was it. And I did find talking to this roommate of mine very interesting when he was sharing things about the Bible. So that was my religious background growing up.
Now, I understand that you saw an accident on the interstate and something happened in you that really bothered you. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, there was a car. I was on the interstate. I was in the left-hand lane. There was just a slight median between the two roads on the interstate with a cement barrier in between. And looking ahead, I could see this car flip over and skid on its roof. And where I stopped, the car kind of stopped right across from me. So I pulled over and got off the road, and I jumped over the barrier. And as I was getting to the car, this young kid, he probably was about 16 or 17, was getting out, and he was bawling, crying. So I figured he was really injured. And I said to him, are you hurt? Are you hurt? And he said, no, I'm not hurt. And I said, well, why are you crying like this? He said, it's my brother's car, and I took it out for a ride, and he's going to kill me. The car was pretty well damaged. And he said something like he had just got his license. That's what he said. Wow. He said, I just got my license. He's going to kill me. And he was shaking.
Yeah.
And I said, are you sure you're not hurt? He said, no, I'm not hurt. My brother's going to kill me. So I waited for the police to come. And I left him. And I got in my car and I drove on. And then all of a sudden, the thought came out of no place into my mind. that I was like disappointed that I didn't see hurt or killed or something. And I said, where does that, I mean, I didn't think anything like that while I was there.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, what kind of a thought is this?
Mm.
And I fought this thought. And then all of a sudden, I noticed that I was very vain inside. Mm. And I found that there was a root of vanity in me, which I didn't like. So I had these various type of thoughts floating around that I'd fight them for a while. And then I noticed that they would come back and they seemed to be like ruling my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was fighting this because I was saying to myself, there's something more to me than me.
Mm.
With this world, I had a good job at the time. I had a house and I knew materialism wouldn't make me happy. I knew it. I had nothing to anchor in. I didn't have any type of religious belief or philosophical belief.
Yeah.
So that set the stage then for when I came in contact with the gospel.
So you were having these thoughts that were uncontrollable. You knew it was wrong, even though you were an atheist, you didn't believe in God, you were not opposed to it being a possibility, but those thoughts were capturing you and just devastating you because they would come back.
Yes, yes. I was saying, where are these thoughts coming from that I don't want?
Yeah. Well, I think there are people listening right now that struggle with thoughts. And the good news is that you got the answers that you were seeking that helped to heal your thoughts, so to speak, and to give you a new mind. And we're going to talk about that on the next show and how you went from being an atheist to a Christian. So we're going to pray for our guests and we'll have you on the next show. Thanks for being with us, John.
Well, thank you very much. And God bless all your listeners.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this testimony. And this is such a great story because we all get these thoughts. And I feel connected with someone who's listening and they're saying, man, I get these thoughts. And sometimes I'm like, where do they come from? And is it just for me? Or is there something more about me? Or is there something more to this life that I'm living?
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, there is so much more. There's so much deepness with your life. And there's so much more of a deeper reality than what you can see mm-hmm. and feel. So Father, we know that this reality exists. And Jesus, we invite you into our lives so that we can experience this reality and freedom from certain thoughts, or God. So I pray right now that there's someone who's saying, I can't get a control over my thoughts. I pray, Father, you set them free from those thoughts, oh God, and bring us your thoughts
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' mighty name.
And what I think is wonderful is the thoughts that you might be dealing with, a good thought for you to have is that those thoughts could be external. And we're going to talk about that on our next show. Thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to Real Life.